All right, we'll be coming out of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And before we read the text, I just believe if there was ever a time that we experience an epiphany, that the time is now. Maybe you've already experienced that epiphany. What is an epiphany? Well, it is a sudden intuitive perception of or insight into the reality or essential meaning of something, usually initiated by some simple, homely, or commonplace occurrence or experience. Basically, a revelation from heaven of the purpose for your life. And that's what I want to talk about on this morning, that we need an epiphany.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk to you about that this morning. And certainly I want to use scripture to be able to support what I'm talking about on this morning. We need an epiphany. And in the text it reads in Ephesians chapter 3, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." I want you to understand, as I clarify, that in this first verse when Paul was saying that I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, you have to understand that the Jews disliked the Gentiles. And the Jews didn't want the Gentiles to know anything about the law of God. They didn't want him to know or want them to know about anything of the things of God. They didn't want to share the law of God. But you understand the history of Paul that pertains to the Gentiles before he became a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. He was on assignment that was given to him to be an apostle of the Gentiles. So in verse 2 it says, "If you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given to me to you, how that by revelation," there go the revelation, there go the epiphany right there. It says, "how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in three words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And what he's describing here is that what was once a mystery to the Gentiles is now being made known unto them. Because you have to understand, when you understand the history of the Bible that pertains to the Gentiles, that it wasn't meant for them in the beginning, but yet it was always in the plan of God, because the Gentiles were engrafted in. Somebody say, "We were engrafted in." It says, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs." See, there it is right there. "And of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospels." See, it was a mystery in the beginning, but now it's being made known unto the Gentiles that they are fellow heirs to the things of God. It says that, and let me read verse 6 again, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body," not a separate body, not a separate entity, not a separate church, because If the truth be told, we know that we got all these churches with different names and congregations and laws and rules and all these things that they have in the church, that the Baptists go by this and the Methodists go by this and the Church of Christ go by this and the Church of God of Christ go by this and all this, the Presbyterians go by this and the Pentecostal goes by this and the Protestants goes by this. But I read in my Bible that there's one God. There's only one church. It's one church. There's one God. There's one baptism. There's one spirit. But yet it's still, we got all of these churches that goes by different denominations. That's why this church is a non-denominational church. This is not True Identity Fellowship of Church of God and Christ. This is not True Identity Baptist Church. This is a non-denominational church. And so when you look at this in verse 6 again, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Here it is. Paul is on an assignment, and it was given unto him to bring forth these mysteries that was hidden unto them for the dispensation of time leading up to the time that he's in now. That it wasn't made known unto them, but God assigned him, Jesus Christ assigned him, to be over the Gentiles. And you have to understand that Paul, he is from the tribe of Benjamin. He knew about the law. He was well versed in the law. He knew all these different languages. We'll get into the history of Paul later on, because I want to use him as an example of the epiphany that we need today. It was a revelation that came upon him, because if you do the research on Paul, he was going about his business thinking that he was walking in his purpose. But until he had an epiphany, oh, there it is right there. But until he had an epiphany from heaven that gave him insight and revelation of what he actually was supposed to be doing, he was going in the wrong direction. And a lot of times when we walk in the things of God, we think we're walking in the things of God, and we ask the question, what is our actual purpose in God? And we associate our purpose with our talents. We associate our purpose with our gifts and all that. But let me give you a newsflash, and I don't want it to mess you up. But if you think about it, we all have the same purpose. There it is right there. So I don't want you to be confused after this message. Well, I don't know what to do. You should be going to try to make some disciples. That's really what your purpose is. We all have the same purpose. And when we understand that there's one church, there's one message that's coming from on high, that he gives a revelation to us to give us the understanding of what our purpose truly is. We were created to worship and praise him and to love him with all our mind, spirit, and might. We have the same purpose. So quit associating your purpose that God has for you with your talents and your gifts. Now, those are tools that we use to draw people that we may disciple them. Right. They might like how you sing, and that's the reason why they might attend your church, because they like the praise and the worship. But what about after the song is over? Right. What are you going to do then? So somebody say, we need an epiphany. So, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. See, Paul got an epiphany, and then as he got the epiphany, Deacon Steve, that he wanted to share with the Gentiles that it was hidden from them in the mystery. And so now that this is good stuff to me. Now that the mystery has been brought to light, he said, I want to share it with you because it once was hidden from you because the Jews don't like you. But now that I've been assigned as a prisoner, and now I know how they're going to treat me because of how I'm trying to minister to you. You know the life that Paul lived. And once they realized that he was assigned to the Gentiles, how they started treating him and all that. And Paul, he didn't care because he knew that he had an epiphany and that he had to do the things that God had called him to do. And once he had his epiphany, if you do the research on Paul, he never went back to his former self.
That's right.
Somebody say, we need an epiphany.
We need an epiphany.
See, because if you have an epiphany, you will no longer go back to the former things, because those things have passed away. The Bible says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That should be an epiphany for all of us. But somehow or another, being saved, it seems like we fall back and we go back to Egypt. Somebody said we need an epiphany. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Not just the Baptist, not just Church of God in Christ, just not the Church of Christ, just not the Presbyterian, not just the Methodist, but the church, the one church. According to the eternal purpose, which is purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, or here it is, and access with confidence by the faith of him. If you get an epiphany, you would know that you have the boldness. Now that I have the boldness now, because I received the epiphany. Some people are still timid and thinking that they got to get somebody else to go to God for them. But here it is in scripture that it said, in whom we have, not just me, not just pastor just got the boldness. But you ought to just be bold enough to be able to go and have access with confidence by faith of him. And in verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, here he started praying for him. He said, for this cause I bow down my knees unto the Father, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Somebody say, we need an epiphany. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints, not with just some of them, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Paul was actually praying for the Gentiles to be able to have an epiphany as well, to know God. So when you think about this, I was thinking, and I start thinking about, okay, God, when you think about Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Go there, Steve. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Give you time to turn there. Are you there? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So when you think about this, God wants us to be fruitful, not just meaning having children, but spiritual reproduction. I'm going to help somebody today. Bearing fruit for him means to love, bear love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God also wants men to have dominion over Satan. He wants us as his representatives to subjugate, which means to bring under dominion, control, especially by conquest. See, Jesus Christ gave us that authority. He wants us to do away with the works of Satan. He wants us to bring a blessing to people to liberate them from the forces that would destroy them.
That's good.
See, that's why we need an epiphany.
Yeah.
That we can understand as a unit, as a body of Christ, what our purpose really is. So when we think about this particular verse, we're just thinking about just having children. Yeah, we want to have children that we may replenish the earth. But he gave us something to do. He said to subdue the earth, because in one thing we have to understand, that the enemy is out to devour those that live in the earth. And so now that people that are in the earth that haven't got an epiphany, now they're looking for something that they can attach themselves to, that they can pick up of. We talked about it in Bible study about the trees and what that was symbolic of, that people are, is a portrait of people. When you talk about trees in the Bible, that they're really talking about the people, and you talk about trees and grass, and as the grass withered, it's talking about us. And so now, here it is that now when a people see you, what do they see on your tree? That he called you to for spiritual reproduction. That's why we all have the same purpose, that we go out and we make other disciples. He said, go ye into all the parts of the world, into Samaria, and Judea, and all these places, sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel, that you may bring in disciples, that you may have a spiritual reproduction. Not only to have reproduction in our families, that we have children, then they have children, then they have children. That's the replenishing of the earth. That's the reason why the earth is still here, right? And so when you think about this, we must go and make disciples, but first we must be discipled ourselves. We need an epiphany, not just reading the Bible, just to read it. We have to hear it, believe it, read it, do it, live it. Let's say it now. Hear it, believe it, read it, do it, live it. Let's read it one more time. Hear it, believe it, read it, do it, live it. So now that we can be equipped to be able to go out and to make other disciples, that's spiritual reproduction. Amen. That they too can bear the fruit that he's looking for. Because a Christian, you might not be able to get all the fruit on the tree at once, but it's a continuous thing. It's a continuum. It's a process. Because some of us need to work on our love, because we got a lot of anger. We got a lot of bitterness. We got a lot of unforgiveness. But we still have the opportunity to change that around, that when people look on your tree, that they can see love on your tree, because the enemy is trying to devour them and make them think that no one loves them, that no one cares about them. But they run into you and they can pick some love off of you. They run into you and they can pick some joy off of you. They run into you and they can pick some gentleness off of you. They run into you and then you can teach them how to deal with situations, because they see the long suffering. They know that you done been through the storm and the rain, but you was able to endure, and you still can come in with a smile, and you're not wearing your feelings on your sleeve, but you can yet still praise God even in the midst of the storm that you're going through. And you won't let your problems come in and interfere with your praise, because you got to learn how to be a spiritual cheerleader. He said, I have overcome the world. He said, be of good cheer. He said, trials and tribulations you're going to go through. He said, but I want to give you some encouragement right here, that I have overcome the world.
Yes.
And now that I have given you the dominion and the power to be able to have spiritual reproduction and to be able to subdue the world and subjugate the enemy, that you may be able to go forth into all parts of the world and make other disciples. That's our purpose. So your fruit should be visible, it should be genuine, and it should be available for human consumption. We've already talked about that when we was talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Also, to be equipped with the word to give to anyone that wants to know. Let's look at that scripture, 1 Peter 3:15. Because our purpose, well, I know what my purpose is. Well, your purpose is to go make other disciples. That's all of our purpose. Yo, go ye all into the other land. Do the great commission. Disciple people to do the great commission. Sharing Christ, winning souls. That's all of our purpose. I don't know what my purpose is. Oh, because you can't. I don't have no purpose. I don't know how to sing. That ain't what he's talking about. So if you knew how to sing, you could sing and people can be delivered because of the anointing, because your voice is in the right place and you're not using the gift that God has given you in the wrong manner to sing stuff that's not going to glorify him, that's not going to be a sweet smelling aroma unto him, that's not going to be a good report to him. But if you sing, use your gift, the voice that he has given to you, when the people come up into the sanctuary and you grab that mic and you sing in your song and you sold out to God and you have got that epiphany, and you're not going to let nothing persuade you to go back into the word, but you're going to stay rooted and grounded. When you open up your mouth, every chain that person that came into the edifice is going to fall off of, because you're able to use the tools of your gift that God has given you. But that is not your purpose.
All right. All right.
Your purpose is to worship him in spirit and in truth, to live for him, to give him reverence, and to go out and to make other disciples. That's all of our purpose. So if you don't know what your purpose is, you should know after today. Amen. Quit looking and associating purpose with what you can do. Yeah, we want you to be able to put your hands to the plow when we're trying to do stuff in the community and go outreach and do other things. Yes, it's good to participate, but don't associate your purpose with singing and playing instruments, all that. Those are just tools that are used for the body of Christ. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. See, that's what I'm talking about. So now, sanctify means to separate yourself. See, when we get saved, now we're separating ourselves. See, we got to separate our heart, because sometimes our heart can still be in other places, but we're calling ourselves Christians. And when people look up on your tree, they don't see the thing that God is talking about. They see other things on your tree. See, a bad tree, it's not going to be able to produce nothing good, because whatever's on the tree, that's what it is, because a seed produces after its kind. And that's why children in our families, we got kids at the school, they just some little cussing little kids. They ain't number 4 years old. Cussing on the bus, cussing in the hallway, because that's all they hear at home. And what it's doing is producing after its kind. Okay. So, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. See? Because I'm seeking after the things of God. But Micah in Micah 6:8, he sums it up. Micah sums it up when he says, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" Somebody said we need an epiphany. Let's go back to Paul. And I want you to understand that, notice after Paul experienced his epiphany, he never participated in the former things of his life. That's what we need today, is an epiphany, so we can leave behind the things we once did and get busy doing what God has purposed for all of us to do. Let's look at first in Galatians chapter 1. I want to read this. Verse 12. Through 17. Give you an opportunity to get there. And course, Deacon Steve will put it on the board. Galatians chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. Are you there? For I neither received it of man. I didn't receive the epiphany from man. Neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in the time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, he had an epiphany, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. See, Paul persecuted the church. And he was zealous in what he was doing. And he was rewarded for what he was doing. Yeah. And as he was doing it, he thought it was his purpose. But until he got an epiphany, a revelation from God, he didn't go and try to ask somebody, was this what he's supposed to been doing? And, or should he continue to do it what he'd been doing? But he followed after the revelation that was given him because he knew it was directly from him.
Amen.
And if you think about it, Paul never went back to do the things that he once did. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm just giving you scriptures just to support what I'm talking about. I'm not making this up. This come out the Bible. No, go to, I'm sorry about that. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. We'll start around verse 4. And we'll start at B in verse 4, which is after the first period. Now let's just read the whole verse on 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he must trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Here it is, Paul telling you that he was a Jew. He telling you where he come from. Paul came from a wealthy place of Tarsus. If you do the research on Tarsus, Tarsus is a wealthy city. So Paul didn't come from poverty. Paul came from wealth. And he was able to come up under people that was able to teach him about the law. He knew different languages. He knew his city. He knew his surroundings. He knew how to communicate with other people. He knew how to write in Hebrew. He knew how to make it simple so that the Gentiles could understand what he was preaching and what he was writing about, because he understood the people. Even like my wife preached last week, that I became a Jew, that I became all things. So he understood becoming all things. But he wasn't going to do that until he got an epiphany, because what he was doing was what he was taught, because he was from Israel. He was a Jew himself, a Pharisee, right? And they opposed the Gentiles. But the mystery was revealed that the Gentiles were engrafted in and they became fellow heirs. And so God needed somebody to go up and to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, because they were made fellow heirs. But in the dispensation of time before, they wasn't included in, but yet they were included in. Because our God already knew how the the Jews were going to act, because he made a covenant with them on Mount Sinai. But you already know what happened, and that's why we're talking about it in Revelation, that he always had that love for Israel, because they were the first fruits. So, he says, concerning zeal, persecuting, hearing, and then he telling what he was doing. See, he had a zeal for things. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do not count them but done, that I may win Christ. See, Paul came from where? He had it made in the shade. But he counted it all loss because he was made a prisoner of Jesus Christ to be able to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Let's read it again. He said, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. See, we'll hold on to some things. Yeah. God say, let it go, but we'll hold on to it. Just like when he knocked down the statue in Dagon, and when they got up, they seen that Dagon had been knocked down. They went and put it back up, but God was trying to get them to know that that's not your God. I am your God. But they said, no, we want Dagon to be our God. And they erected him back up. But God was knocking it down and they raised it back up. And sometimes we want to hold on to things. And God said that I want you to let that thing go, but we'll hold on to it. And we'll keep propping that thing up. Somebody say, we need an epiphany.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. See, Paul already knew. See, once he had that epiphany, well, he was sold out. He was truly a soldier of the Lord. And it didn't matter what he had to go through. He went through great persecution because the Jews seen him and they said, what is Paul doing? Yeah. And even Paul had to pull up Peter with his two-faced self at one time, because he was over here telling the Jews one thing and then he was over here telling the Gentiles another. And Paul went straight up in his face. He didn't go behind his back and go to gossiping about it. He went straight to him and told him what he was doing wrong, because he was sold out.
Yeah.
He had an epiphany. Let's look at Acts 9. I'm just giving you and supporting the epiphany that we all need. Acts chapter 9. Go down to verse 9. See, after, when you look in verse 9, and you can start from the top and you can read this chapter and you can understand and get a good, clear understanding of the epiphany that Paul received when he was knocked off his beast. And we've talked about that numerous times. It should be in your spirit as of now. But as you go on down, after he got his epiphany, he immediately began to do the work of Jesus Christ and started walking in his purpose that Jesus Christ had laid out for him as being a representative and an ambassador and an apostle and a missionary for the kingdom, to be able to share the gospel to the Gentiles, which were made fellow heirs in the kingdom of God, that these mysteries have now been revealed unto them, and that Paul became just like them to be able to share the gospel with them. But in verse 22 it says, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. See, he was letting them know that I got an epiphany, and now I'm talking to my Jew brothers and letting them know, because they had some questions and some doubts concerning his being converted, and being that the message that he was having and what his assignment was to go to the Gentiles. And so he was revealing unto them, because they was in expectation of Christ returning, and they was looking for him to return in a certain way. But he came in on a donkey, y'all remember? And they thought he was going to come in this high mighty with this crown on his head. And if you notice when you read the gospel, that they was always trying to make him a king, but he was already a king, right? They was already trying to make a deal with him, but he was already knew what his purpose was when he came down here, right? And so when you drop down to 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. See, they was reluctant because they was identifying him with what he used to do in the past. But Paul had already had an epiphany. And it took a while before Paul began on his journey. And I don't know how long it is. Some say that it took about 3 years after he had his epiphany for people to really, you know, to really understand that he truly is a disciple and that he's truly going out to be able to share the gospel with the Gentiles. And they was reluctant because they knew what Paul was all about. That he was zealous, he had zeal, and that he was persecuting the church. He was dragging people to the Sanhedrin court. People were being stoned to death. People were being put in prisons and dungeons. It's the same thing. And so that when they seen that after his epiphany, he had his epiphany, that he had changed. Something had changed about him. And it's one thing about having an epiphany, people of God, that there should be a change that should be visible in you. That once you have an epiphany, you should not be having on display or exhibit your same old ways. Your ways should change, and there should be some things that should accompany your salvation that you should no longer walk in darkness, but now that you have been translated over into his marvelous light. And now that I can begin to walk in my purpose, the same purpose that all of us have, is to disciple people to do the Great Commission. So when you think about it, our fruit should be evident that we should have spiritual reproduction because we're going out and we're making other disciples. And we're not getting caught up in the division of the church where you have different sects of the church when it's supposed to be just one body. It's one body. Many branches, but one body. We all reading the same Bible, but you got all these different denominations that go against one another. But we're supposed to be having spiritual reproduction. If you get an epiphany and understand that, then we all can work together. We all can work together as the one body that he has called us, because he's coming. He ain't coming back just for the Church of God in Christ. He ain't coming back just for the Baptist. He's not just coming back. He's coming back for the church. Amen. That's who he's coming back for. Yes, sir. And so, but until he comes back to get us, and until we run our course, because we don't know, we have an allotted time that only God knows that we're going to be here. Some of us leave early. Some of us leave late. My great grandmother, she lived to be 104 years old. And her son, which is my mother's dad, he lived to be 96 years old, just short of his 97th birthday. And a lot of other family members in that same bloodline, they live a long life. So it's long life in my family that's attached to the Meltons, which live a very long time. But some of us might not live that long. My daddy just lived to be 29 years old. But while we're here, what are you going to do? And some of us think that we know, but we don't know, because we haven't got that epiphany. We don't understand the power of his resurrection. We don't understand who we are in Christ. We don't understand how to operate in dominion. We don't understand that we can go in boldness and have access to all the things that is for us and to us, that we can share with other people that are suffering in the world. That the enemy is beating up on a daily basis. We got people that's on drugs. We got people that are young girls that are prostituting themselves and are dancing in strip clubs because they think that's their purpose. That's they think that's the only thing that they can do. But they need to run into one of you. Mm-hmm. That can tell them about Jesus Christ.
Yes, man. Yes, man.
And that he loves them because they think don't nobody love them. My mama left me. She put me in foster care. She said she didn't want me. Just like I was reading about Jimmy Butler at 13. His mama said she didn't even want him no more. She didn't like the way he looked. And he ended up in going with some people that took him in, some people that was of a different color that took him in. He went on to go, and then he started to excel in basketball, but he didn't get no scholarship. He had to go to JUCO, and then he had to go a different route. But now he's a two-time all defensive team, a four-time star. Then he signed a $140 million contract, and then he started saying to himself, and they asked him, he said, I'm glad that I went through the things that I went through. Amen. To become the person that
That's
I am
right.
now.
That's right.
And so we got to learn, even through our trials and our tribulation,
Lord,
to understand, to have that epiphany, to know that God is still for us.
Yes.
He said, if he be for you, who can be against you?
Yes.
Because you're going to run into some trees. That's going to show you love. That's going to show you gentleness. That's going to show you joy. That's going to show you how to get through that with that long suffering. That you want to get back and have revenge. I'm pretty sure he might have thought about it. I'm not going to give my mama nothing. Now that I got $140 million, I don't care about them. They left me. She didn't want me because of the way I look and all that kind of stuff. My daddy was gone. He didn't want me. But it was somebody that wanted him. It was somebody that he looked at their tree and they showed him love. They showed him gentleness. They showed him kindness. And it propelled him to be the person that he is now. And now he's in the playoff terrorizing the Milwaukee Bucks. The ones that was favored to beat them. And now they are 3-0 because of him and his zeal. For he said, some of their family members come inside the bubble. He said, I didn't come down here. He said, I love my family, but this is a business trip. He don't even want nobody to be in there because he locked in. He focused. He said, all I want to do is win. And as the believers, that's what we want to do. That's all we need to be focusing on. All we want to do is win.
Yes,
win what? Win other souls.
Yes,
bring
sir.
People out
yes.
from all this suffering and all this
yes,
despair and they're losing hope, that we can give them an answer of the hope that we have, that God brought us out because we had an epiphany and we sold out and we're so attached to what God has done and we understand the power of his resurrection and what it has done for us, that he brought us out the mud and he set us on a solid foundation. We're not going to return like the pig or the dog to the vomit. But we're going to keep pressing toward the mark of a higher calling. Amen?
Amen.
I hope this word was a blessing to you today.
Amen.
We truly need an appeal.